Blog Talk Radio.
Also, you can follow me on Facebook under KO Rich Ministries and
Subscribe to me on YouTube under Evangelist K.L. Rich. Now, right now, we're on Blog Talk. We only have 33 minutes of Blog Talk per session. However, I do pray to be able to come back to you for my full hour and a half, all right? So we're going to just get on right to it. But before we continue on, please keep in prayer your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted all throughout the world by different terrorist groups, terrorist organizations, haters of the cross. And so we want to keep them lifted up in prayer daily. So please keep them in your prayers. All right. Today we're discussing about Christian America. Do we still have a Christian America, or is that done away with? A few years ago, our president, Barack Hussein and Obama, he declared that we're no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We're a nation full of basically everything except Christianity is not our religion as a nation. And therefore, you know, there was a lot of talk about that, and it still is. Are we a Christian nation, or, you know, was he just declaring something that is only his ideology only? Okay, I found an article, and I know I don't do headlines on Sundays, but this particular article is by Charisma Magazine, and I wanted to read it to you so we can discuss for us the United States, because some people say that the United States was based on, it was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and then others say that it was based on Freemasonry and secret organizations. So what is the truth? Well, let me read this article to you, because I found the history in this article very interesting. First, it goes on to say, Christians are followers of Christ, whereas a nation is a group of people who share a common identity and often a common origin. Some of the founders, such as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, were not considered Christians. For this reason, America was not a Christian nation in the sense that every citizen or founder was a Christian or was required to be one. But America is often labeled a Christian nation because her foundation was built on biblical principles and Christian character. Okay, so they the first part of this article is basically saying that we did have some of the founding fathers who were not Christians, such as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. However, we did have a lot of them that were Christians. Now, what this article is saying is that Christians are those who follow Christ, and that is 100%. You know, you do have people that are wearing the title Christian. They're not actually Christians. They're just wearing the title. Okay, now the writer of this article goes on to say that a nation is a group of people who share a common identity. Okay, can we say the nation of Israel? Do they all believe in and the Judeo principles? Do they all believe in the Torah? All of them may not follow it, okay, but they are a nation. Okay, so let's go on here. This article gives a few facts, a historical fact. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation that this is not a Christian nation, and that's based upon the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, in it quotes 1892. The fact is, the Pilgrims and the Puritans emerged when the religious climate in Europe changed in the early 1500s. This was a time when many Christians returned to the authority of God's word and the purity of biblical doctrine. Their prayers, journals, and writings, such as the Mayflower Compact, indicate that their intent was the furtherance of the good news, which is the gospel of Christ and his teaching. Remember ever and always that your country was founded on the stem old Puritans whose first act on touching the soil of this new world was to offer on bended knee thanksgiving to Almighty God, said Henry Wilson, who was the 18th United States Vice President. Okay, so what this is saying right here is that when the Pilgrims touched ground on America, they gave thanks to God. They gave thanks and honored God, and it was their intentions to spread the good news, which was the gospel, and is the gospel of Christ, okay? So we, you know, before I mentioned to you about Christopher Columbus, there's historians are saying that Christopher Columbus was a Jew. He didn't, you know, people didn't know he was a Jew, but he was a Jew. So when during the time of the Spanish Inquisition, when they were kicking the Jews out of Spain, Christopher Columbus went on a quest to try to find a new land for the Jews. Okay, so as part of the founding, and I'm not saying he discovered America, what I'm saying is that part of the founding of this nation was based on trying to find a place where the Puritans or the Jews could worship in peace and harmony without having the restrictions of, I'm going to say, the Catholic Church, okay? As we know, the Catholic Church was doing a lot of persecution during the earlier century, okay? And so, therefore, to get up under that, or to get from up under that, then they had to find somewhere else. That's why we have the Lutherans, Martin Luther, if you know about Martin Luther, wrote the 95 Theses, and he was coming up against the Catholic Church. Okay, there was a lot of things that the Catholic Church was and still is doing, but this is why we have the Protestants. Everyone that's not up under the Catholic religion is considered a Protestant, for that all derived from Martin Luther, and he wrote the 95 Theses and was putting it on the doors of the church and basically telling everyone that the Catholic Church had it wrong, that they were you had to pay to get out of purgatory, and it's a whole bunch. We don't have time to go into all the history, but again, this country was founded so that we could have one of the things, have freedom of religion. Okay, moving on. Newsweek magazine on December the 27th of 1982, in an article titled "How the Bible Made America," made this revealing statement, quote, "Historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding document." Now, when you look at the laws of the land, when you have laws like don't kill, okay, where does that originate from? It originates from the Ten Commandments. When you have don't steal, because if you go in the store and steal something, they're going to lock you up. Where does it originate from? Who first put thou shalt not steal? God did with his own fingers when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, back in the day, you used to be able to get a divorce. I don't know, I believe still some states probably still have it. They changed it to irreconcilable differences. But you used to be able to get a divorce based upon if your spouse committed adultery. I do believe they still have it on the books in some cases. I know in the military, when I was in the military, that was grounds for discipline, discharge even, if you committed adultery on your spouse. Now, the military is some of the most cheating people I have ever seen in my life. When I was in the military, if they actually followed that law, I would say 80% of your military be gone. Okay, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, so a lot of the laws that we have comes from the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and father, okay? Well, who does the state hold responsible when children get into mischief? The parents, okay? You honor your parents. DHS, they got the juvenile system. If you can't do what you're told or whatever. So, I mean, so these laws that we have in the United States had an origin from somewhere. And where was that origin? Whether they want to say it or not, it comes from the Ten Commandments. Okay, it goes on to say, for those who doubt this, and believe it that the statement in the Declaration of Independence, such as the laws of nature and the laws of God, quote-unquote, were products of the Enlightenment, deism or secularism, you may want to read quotes from founders such as Alexander Hamilton, Noah Webster, John Jay, William Finley, Rufus King, and James Wilson, all attested to the fact that the laws of nature and of nature's God refer to laws given by God himself. John Quincy Adams stated that the phrase assumes the existence of a God, the moral ruler of the universe, and the rule of right and wrong. How do we know as Christians what's right and wrong? We know by the word of God. We know by the Ten Commandments. We know by the example that Jesus set before us, all right? So when we, as a nation, when we say, or the people try to say, well, this nation wasn't based on Christian principles, yeah, it was. It was based on, now whether they followed it or not, that's a different story. Now, some would say, well, the KKK call themselves Christians. I had somebody tell me that the other day. Okay, yo, you can call yourself a Christian, but Jesus said by their fruit you would know them. Jesus never went around in a sheet lighting crosses, okay? So everyone that calls themselves a Christian is not a Christian. And the Bible lets us know that there's going to be some in the end that's going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And he's going to say, depart from me. You work of iniquity. I never knew you. Okay? So just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you are. The article goes on to say, if a proposed article for the Constitution was not supported by or rooted in the Bible, it was not considered. In their early writings, many of the founding fathers quoted or referenced the Bible nearly four times more than any other source. Let me ask a question. If this nation wasn't founded on Judeo-Christian principles, why is it that when the president swears in, he swears in on the Bible? Okay, I believe Barack Obama was the first one that did, I believe, a double swear-in on the Quran. All right? That tells you a lot there. Okay, but the thing is that the founding fathers, we have always had presidents swearing on the Bible and your money and God we trust and the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag, but it's under God, I mean, indivisible. We have so many things that's leading us back to what was the original intent of the founding fathers. It was never to be atheist. It was never to be this nation be without God. As a matter of fact, if you did not have any type of belief in God, that was rule for them not to even vote you in office. See, you got to know the history in order to know the current situation we're in and the future of where we're going. Another fact is first introduced in 1766, William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws served as the legal reference for the founders, as well as for many early American lawyers. Blackstone's commentaries were deeply rooted in biblical principles. It's been said that Blackstone was the first to use the phrase the laws of nature and the laws of God. The thing is, who created the laws of nature? God did. Okay, I'm going to have to hurry this up because we're running out of time. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, said the following in his last will and testament: unto him, who is the author and giver of all good, I render sincere and humble thanks for his manifold and unmerited blessings, and especially for our redemption and salvation by his beloved Son. This is of one of those United States Supreme Court justices, how far we have fallen. Another fact, many of the American founders did not support slavery. They were responsible for planting the first seeds of equality and for the eventual end of slavery. John Quincy Adams was often referred to as the quote-unquote hellhound of abolition movement for his efforts against slavery. Richard Allen, founder of the AME Church in America, said many of the white people have been instruments in the hands of God for our good, even such as have held us in captivity and are now pleading our cause with earnestness and zeal. Another fact, Noah Webster, the founding father of American scholarship and education, said, Quote, in my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. Okay, I'm going to skip down just a little bit. John Adams, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, rightly said, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I could go on and on and on. But what this is saying is that, you know, when people want to say that America was not based upon Christianity, that's not America's founding fathers had every intent, not all, but the majority of them, had every intent of building this nation up on Christian values. Now, what happened is that we've fallen far from those Christian values. We've allowed things to creep in this nation. The churches have not done their job with teaching the people in the congregation that we have to stand on principles. Why, again, as I always say, why is our nation being looked at as no longer a Christian nation? How was our president able to even get up there and say that we're not a Christian nation? Why? Because we're not acting like a Christian nation. Many people are carrying the title Christian, but are they living like a Christian? No. And living like a Christian means you're following Christian principles. You're following Christ. That means that you're being submissive to God. And this nation is wicked. We have the largest import and export of pornography in this nation. We've killed nearly 60 million babies. We have declared that what is detestable to God is legal in our eyes, such as homosexuality. We have taken prayers out of schools. We have committed genocide by killing. I'm not just talking about just going and swacking, you know, whacking swords or whatever. I'm talking about even in the different chemicals that's being sprayed on the ground and the vaccinations and the pharmaceuticals, all for the sake of greed. We have gone in to other countries and told them that if you do not follow us in our wickedness, that we're no longer going to give you money. Obama has done this with African nations, told them if you do not change your policies with regards to homosexuality, that we're going to keep our funds. We're not going to help support you. We're not going to give you human aid. We have secularism on the television sets where nothing is sacred. Women are wearing less than nothing. Men are drooling at the television. The music has become so demonic that you have to very much screen what your kids are listening to. You have to screen your eyes of what you got coming into your home on television because you never know if it's going to be a gay couple, if it's going to be a curse word, if it's going to be something Illuminati-ish that's going to come out on the screen and try to twist your children up. And then you have the violence that's going on in this nation. People, lack of love, just going shooting and killing. And it's not about the guns. It's about the people who have the guns. The guns don't kill. It's the people that have them do. And it's about the mindset. You could try to take every gun off the street, and you still gonna have people kill each other. Did Cain kill Abel with a gun? No, he didn't. He used his hands. So is America a Christian nation? America's not acting like a Christian nation. Our churches are not acting Christian. A lot of them are carrying titles of bishops, apostles, evangelists, prophets, the fivefold ministry teachers, the fivefold ministry, but you're not living in the fivefold ministry. And this nation is going to hell in a handbasket while you got the leaders more concerned about being popular, being invited to the White House, being on Oprah show, getting in the latest movie, having a reality television show, having their entourage around them where they can't let the common person touch their hand. This is not conducive to a Christian nation. Do we have Christians in this nation? No, yes, we do. We do have Christians in this nation. But is America a Christian nation overall? I'm sad to say, but I believe that our president says something that he put on the nation, is that we're no longer a Christian nation. Why? Why was he able to say that? Because if we were on our knees praying, fasting, following Christ, witnessing, evangelizing, living like we're supposed to live for Christ, there was no way that he would even be president right now. Why? Because we would have had, I'm talking about as Christians, we would have had such an influence that leaders would know that they have to at least go to, they have to at least live right in order to be in office. Right now, you got pastors that's condoning Hillary Clinton. Oh my goodness! What every pastor that is condoning that woman? I mean, how in the world are you condoning someone who believes in abortion? How in the world are you condoning someone who believes in homosexuality and passing laws? And how in the world are you condoning someone that is anti-God? You got pastors going and celebrating Hillary Clinton. How demonic. And then you have pastors like Paula White and going to support Donald Trump. And it's sad to say, but do we have any leaders that's worth a grain of salt with regards to this election? Is there anyone that is upright and godly? Can God find anyone in the land? It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. When Abraham asked God, if you find 50, will you save the city? God said yes. Then he thought about it. If you find 40, will you save the city? God said yes. If you find 30, will you save the city? God said yes. If you find 20, will you save the city? God said yes. If you find 10, will you save the city? God said yes. Can God find one person that is truly upright that will win this election? But you know what? It's not about the leader anymore. It's about the nation turning back to God, and the nation is saying we're no longer a Christian nation. The nation is saying we no longer want God. We don't want your religious babble. We don't want your godly influence. We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want to obey Christ. But let me read you a couple of verses. We're almost out of time. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test the proof what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've transformed to the world and not allowed the world to transform to us. And that's what's wrong with this nation. That's why it's so easy to say we're not a Christian nation, because, well, many in the church are not Christians. We've fallen too far away. In Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is new in knowledge, in the image of our Creator. We have to take off the old man and put on the new. And that's the only way this nation will be a Christian nation. But if we continue as we're going, we're not a Christian nation. We're a nation going to the devil's handbasket. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create a new clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I accept you, Lord, as the Son of the living God. Have mercy on me. And if you said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation. God bless you. This is It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. We will be back on tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 p.m. Central, for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. God bless you. Until next time.